heard a number of sermons, or Revelation chapter 3, sorry. I've heard a number of sermons on this passage. Tonight we're going to be looking at the church of Laodicea. Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14 down through verse 22 gives us a story of a church. And as we look at this section of Revelation, as it begins, we're talking to it. There are a number of messages to different churches. And as you go through, some are commended for different things. Others are told that they've been doing something wrong and they've been corrected. But generally, when you look at all of them, except for this last one, they've all been commended for something. But as we come to the Laodicean church, we find that there is no commendation for them. We don't see a harsh criticism for any in particular thing that they have specifically done. But we see that as a general whole, these people have fallen away from the Lord. They're not following God with their entire hearts. Now let's look at verse 13, or verse 14. It says, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we begin. Our Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for its power. Lord, we pray tonight that as I preach, Lord, that it would only say what you would have me to. Lord, that you would work in our hearts, and Lord, that we would be nothing like this church, but that we would take the encouragement to follow you, and that we would not be lukewarm, but that we would be hot. And Lord, as we will see, that even coldness can be a good thing. Lord, we thank you for your word in Jesus' name. Amen. As I've heard many sermons from this passage, there have been some that have made me scratch my head a little bit. If you think of this passage and it's talking about the lukewarm church, the church here was neither cold nor hot. We see that laid out very plainly. But the church here in Laodicea, as they are told, they ought to be cold or hot. Now, I often wondered, why would it, and this is an application that many have made, and many godly men that I respect have made this application, but I don't know if I necessarily agree with it. They said that God would rather that they be cold or not doing anything than to be lukewarm. And it's always made me scratch my head because I thought, are you sure that God would have us do nothing? Are you sure that God would rather have us sitting, being stagnant believers? And there may be some good application to it. I'm not discounting what you may have heard preached in the past. There can be some great application. But for tonight, as we look at this passage, I want to see that even the coldness that is talked about here is actually a good thing. If you know anything about Laodicea, they were a place that didn't have a good water supply. They didn't have some great reservoir of good, clean, cool water that they could drink from. Now, Laodicea was on the side of a river. There was a river that ran alongside of it. It was called Lycus. And actually, the full name of Laodicea is Laodicea ad Lycium, or Laodicea on the Lycum, on the river next to it. So they did have water, but that water wasn't necessarily good for them to drink. They had to get their water from elsewhere. So they had aqueducts, or they piped the water in. They had a hot spring in Heliopolis, which is about 6 miles away from them, and they would pipe in hot water. It's amazing to think that in the Roman Empire they had such technology that we're still using today. We pipe water from place to place from our reservoirs. But there was also a cold spring in Colossae. And Colossae was about 20 miles away, and they had to pipe that water in as well. But do you know what happens to water after it's been piped for 6 miles? That nice hot water, that water that was once really nice and hot that Heliopolis was known for. I mean, they were known for that water. It was great. This hot spring was a wonderful asset to that place. But as they piped the water down, it cooled down. That water was no longer hot. And if you think of hot water, what do you typically do with hot water? You can answer. What do you do with hot water? Some good uses for hot water. To wash with. It's good for cleansing. You know, there's something else that we do with hot water that I absolutely love? Coffee. We can make some wonderful hot drinks from it. And though it doesn't have the same necessarily refreshing aspect that a cold water will have, hot water has its benefits as well. It can warm us. It can warm our bodies. Coffee, when you add the coffee to it, it can perk you up a little bit, so that's always good. But hot water has some great aspects to it. It's cleansing, but it can also be used to warm you, to bring that warmth to you. Then I think of the cold water that comes in from Colossae. What happens to cold water after it's been going through a pipe, through some possibly desert land? What's going to happen to that water? It's going to warm up a little bit. Now, it's not going to get hot. It's not hot at all. It comes in and it's lukewarm. This illustration of the hot water going lukewarm, the cold water coming lukewarm, was something that the people of Laodicea knew a lot about, because this is what they lived with. And what does it say in our passage of Scripture that lukewarm water does? When you put it in your mouth, you want to spew it out. I mean, lukewarm coffee? Disgusting. Lukewarm water in the dishpan? You're not going to get the same cleansing aspect as you would with the hot water. And then you take that cold water. That refreshing water. You know, on a hot day when you've been out mowing the lawn all day, or you've been building a house, or you've been doing this or that, and it's just hot, you're sweating, maybe the sweat has drenched your body, and you just feel miserable. You go and maybe you sit under a tree, and you grab a bottle or a glass of cold water. Maybe you'll put some ice in it, and you sit there and you drink it, and you're refreshed. That cold water is refreshing. It brings back some strength. It brings back what you need to go on and maybe complete your task. It gives you what you need to complete and get through your day. I submit to you tonight that when it's talking here that the Lord would rather us be hot or cold, He is speaking of this illustration of the water, and that He's speaking of the cool, refreshing aspect of the water. And He's also talking about the cleansing aspect of that hot water. Tonight I want to first look at the cleansing of the water. The men's breakfast yesterday morning, we looked at a passage in Jeremiah that spoke of our lives as men being as trees planted by the rivers of water. We know that as believers, water is representative of the Word of God. We need the Word of God in our lives. And as that hot water, that cleansing water of the Word of God comes into our lives, it works a work of salvation. That first does the work of salvation in our lives. We come to Him, knowing Him as our Savior. But that washing and that cleansing can be a spiritual maintenance as well. A spiritual maintenance of our lives. As we go through our lives and things come in, sins, we allow them to creep back into our lives. Often we need to get back into the Word of God. We need to get back to that hot water so that our lives again are hot. And so that what we are teaching other people can be a cleansing aspect. Can give that cleansing. But also, like that warm cup of coffee in the morning. Something to get you going. We need that warm, hot Word of God. We need that to come in, to cleanse our way. So that as we go throughout our day, we're meditating on the Word of God. Remember what David said? David said that day and night he meditated on the Word. And yes, though David had his shortcomings, yes, he fell away from the Lord in some areas, he always came back. And I believe that a great reason for that is because he got back into the Word of God. He got back into the Word of God, meditating on it day and night, receiving the cleansing power of God's Word, and resting in God's wonderful, everlasting arms. And then again, we look now at the refreshing aspect. Have you come to a point in time in your life where there is some trouble? Have you come into a point in time in your life where things seem to be against you, or the burdens of life have gotten you weighed down? You're sweating, you're laboring, you're working, whatever it is you may be doing. Maybe it's the pressures at work. The pressures of those around you, constant poor influences in the workplace, constantly getting you down. You can come back to the Word of God. You can come back and get that cool, refreshing drink of God's Word. We need to be in God's Word. We need to be focusing on on His truth. You see, God can lighten our eyes again. He can give us the strength that we need to get through our day. And He's talking here in this passage about the people. He would that they were hot. He would that they were cold, and was going to bring our temperature up, or make that temperature cooling and refreshing, not just for ourselves, but for those that we're giving the Word of God to, is going to be that Word itself. Christian, how is your walk with God? How is your daily life being lived? Are you living in a place where your life can be used to be cleansing? Can it be used in giving the Word of God so that it can wash and regenerate other people? Can God use you in that way? Or can you be a refreshing part of someone's week? I think of some churches that I go into, they can be characterized by these things. You think you go into some and you'll hear on a Sunday morning a wonderful presentation of the Word of God. People will get saved, or people's lives are changed. You see that cleansing coming about. Other churches, you walk into them, and it should be with all of them, you go in and you get this sweet spirit about everyone. You come in, you're weighed down with some care, and right away someone sees that in your eyes. Or they see how you're slightly hunched over, and they come up to you, they put your arm around you and say, "How was your week this week? How's everything going? I've been praying for you." That's cool. That's refreshing. How was your life? How is your life being lived? Can God say that you are on the hot end of the spectrum? Can God say that you are on the cool end of the spectrum? We need in our lives to be hot. We need in our lives to be cold. Now, we do need to find a balance between the two. We need to have that cool and refreshing, and we need to have that hot. But when we find the balance, it ought not to be in a lukewarm state. It ought not to be in the center, because it says that the lukewarm is to be spewed out of your mouth. Have you ever tried to drink that lukewarm water? It doesn't refresh. It doesn't lift you up. It doesn't cleanse. As we move on in our passage, we skip past this illustration of the hot and the cold, and we see a little bit more about this Laodicean church. It says in verse 17, "But thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing. And knowest thou not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked?" If you know anything of Laodicea, further than the aqueducts, you know that this, being a very wealthy and rich city, had two things that they were very well known for. They were known for their black wool. It was very soft, and it was sought after in many places. They had their sheep. I don't know if it was the water they were drinking. I don't know if that lukewarm water was good for the sheep, or the grass they were eating was good for them. But that wool that they had was soft. That wool they had was there in abundance, and that made this city rich. But not only did they have that wool, that great commodity there, but they also had an eye salve. They also had a salve that was good for healing the eyes. Whether it was to calm down a puffy red eye, or whether it actually had healing abilities where it would restore bits of your sight, I'm not sure. I'm not a doctor, and I haven't studied out all of what their eye salve could do. But we know that they had an eye salve, and it was good. And they had a medical school there. And this eye salve was used quite often. And this also made them rich. Do you know, at one point in time in their history, I believe it was 60 AD, that there was a great earthquake in this region. And it completely and totally wiped out the city of Laodicea. Now, Rome stepped in and they said, "This is a rich, wealthy city. This is an important city. to our nation. So we're going to come in and we're going to rebuild this. But the people got together and they said, you know what? We really don't need your help. We can rebuild this city with our own finances. We're wealthy. We don't want to take any money from Rome. We're going to do it ourselves. You can imagine if an earthquake hit St. John's. Every single building, for the most part, was wiped out. The economy was shattered. Things had to go on hold because it was an earthquake. You look at many places around the world, they go into a desperate state. Their buildings are on the ground, and it takes years and years and years for them to build back up. Think of Japan. Think of how long it's going to take for them to rebuild much of what has gone on there. Think of how long it's going to take just for the lives to be put back together. But we see, because of the wealth of this land, they were able to just build it up on their own. I don't know how the specific lives were affected. Many people would have lost their lives and things would have been set back in some ways, but finances was never a problem there. They never had to worry about money. So as we come to this passage in verse 17, and it says, I am rich and increased with goods, they were lifted up in pride. Pride was something that the Laodicean people struggled with greatly. Because, face it, financially, they could do it on their own. Now, it was God that put them in that place, but they didn't give him the credit. Remember what happened to many great people in Scripture? As we go through different books of the Bible, we can see a number of people that get lifted up in pride and what they have brought to themselves, and God brings them low. Because they have gotten themselves to a point where they are so prideful in saying, look what we've gotten to ourselves. And you know, in this place, it had permeated the church. That attitude of, we're rich. We have need of absolutely nothing. We can go out, we can buy whatever we want. We've got all the clothes we need. I mean, we've got this black wool that everyone else wants. We have it. We have this eye salve. We can keep ourselves in good health. We have a medical school, so it wasn't just the ISAP. They could keep themselves in fairly good health. They were a self-sustaining economy. They were thriving. But they got lifted up in pride. And as we look at an economy such as in St. John's, I think there's a very thriving economy here. You look even at the real estate market. As we came into St. John's, looking at the real estate market, it's higher than it was in Halifax. And I was a little shocked when I started to look at it. But there's a booming economy here. And quite possibly it's because of the oil. Many of you would know a lot more about that than I would. Tim Harper's shaking his head up and down, so it's got to be the oil. So the oil is bringing this economy into a place where it is in good standing. When you look down south, look at Florida. You see all the people that are losing their homes. They've gone into deep recession, and just when they thought they hit the worst, they went further. And that economy slowly collapsing. But we see that in Laodicea, they didn't have that problem. Even after an earthquake, they didn't have that problem. You know, I think that, in a way, if we're not careful, that idea that we have everything we need can permeate our church if we're not careful. We need to be careful as believers that we don't allow ourselves to get into the position of this Laodicean church, because God was not pleased with them at all. Verse 18 says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in fire, that thou mayest be rich. These people said, we've got money. We don't need money. No, they didn't. They didn't need any more financial gain. In fact, they could have done with much less. What God is saying, they needed spiritual riches. Riches that they would only get as they delved into the Word of God. I don't know what a service would have looked like in that Laodicean church on a given Sunday. But I could imagine that, as we've seen through different portions in the Gospels, as some of these Pharisees and some of these other people would come and make a great show of giving their offerings, I could imagine that some of this would have been evident in this church, making a great show of what they had. But what was most important, they were missing. What was the preaching like in that church? And praise God for the wonderful preaching that we receive here, the wonderful pastor we have. I pray that that will continue. But it says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in fire, that thou mayest be rich, rich in spiritual things. But it says next, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed. Now, face it, physically, they didn't have a problem getting clothes either. I mean, they didn't have a problem getting wealth. They didn't have a problem getting clothes because they had an abundance of this wool. The wool that everyone wanted. I mean, they were exporting it, making great financial gains through it, so it was not just benefiting in the fact that they had the clothes, it was giving them more money on top of that. But what it said, these people had black wool. What it says is they needed white raiment. White raiment. And that pictures to me the cleansing and the washing and regenerating of the Word of God. How does your heart look? We're told many times in Scripture that we can fall away from the Lord. Yes, though there was a washing and a regenerating in our lives, we may say, I've been saved for 25 years, I've been saved for 30, 40 years. Quite often we allow our lives, that white raiment that we've been placed in at salvation, gets dirtied. And it needs to be dipped back into that hot water and cleansed again. We need our lives to get back into this Word of God and be cleansed. And we need that white raiment. We need to go and purchase for ourselves that white raiment that we could be clothed. And that the shame of our spiritual nakedness would not appear. But then at the end of verse 18, it says, "And anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see." Come on. We've got the money. I mean, we're well off. We've got clothes. We've got eye salve. Our eyes are fine. But God says, spiritually, you're destitute. Spiritually, you're naked. And spiritually, your eyes are blinded. Spiritually, your eyes are not seeing. You need to get into the Word of God and place that eye salve in your eyes. Forget about the eye salve, the medical practices that you have. Those are good things. Those are wonderful gifts of God. But remember that our spiritual eyes can be blinded by the things of this world. Their eyes were getting blinded by what they had, what they could do, how they could dig themselves out of physical holes. But spiritual ones, they were in the depths of despair. In their spiritual lives, they were in the miry pit. And their feet needed to be lifted up and set upon the rock of God's Word. This is God's counsel to the church. To buy gold, try to fire. Spiritual blessings. To buy white raiment. And to anoint their eyes with spiritual eye salve. It says in verse 19, so that these people don't just get discouraged and say, "The Lord has forsaken us. We come to a point where He's totally sick of us. He doesn't want us in His presence anymore." We must remember that God doesn't want the sin in His presence. He cannot have the sin in His presence. But verse 19 gives us the key to this entire passage. It says, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." God wasn't telling these people that He was forsaking them because of their sin. He wasn't forsaking them and leaving them behind because they had followed the world and they had heaped to themselves physical riches, physical blessings. God wanted to give them the spiritual blessings that was available through His Word. But they were neglecting to look at it. They were neglecting to come to Him. And God was saying to them, "Laodiceans, My people, I love you." It said at the very beginning of this passage in verse 14, "Under the angel of the church of Laodicea," the word angel there is actually talking about the pastor, the one that is looking after this church. He's talking to the pastor here. He's giving specific instruction to the pastor on how to lead that church, on the things that are wrong in that church. And the pastor is to go about and say, "I love this church. I love you, and I want this church to be thriving and flourishing again. I want that picture of your external blessings to be seen also in your spiritual blessings. I want the spiritual to must far outweigh the physical." Because they had the physical abounding. You look at other churches, and the other churches around, think of the church at Colossae, that was only 20 kilometers away, but their economy was nothing like this one. 20 miles away, and they were poor. At one point, they had some pretty good financial standing. But as time went by, their financial standing went down and down and down. We don't see this very same message given to them, because I think in their low financial state, physically not having all the raiment, physically not having their eye salve or all the money that they could desire, they saw a spiritual need. Because they were able to get their eyes off of everything that was around them, all the things that the world had to offer, and they were able to focus on the Word of God. Christian, we need to put spiritual blinders on our eyes. To get our eyes off of the rich blessings that we have financially. We have been blessed beyond all measure with finances. Even the poorest in Canada don't seem to be as poor as some of the other people in this world. I mean, there are many that are worse off than any of us. I'm not minimizing your state if you do not have the rich blessings and finances. If you don't have abundant money everywhere and you're living out of hand-me-down clothing or secondhand clothing, you know, God has put you in that position. And praise God for it. Because you know it's quite possible that in that position you can be more spiritually perceptive because you don't have all of that, those other things to get your eyes off of the Lord. Because if we look at the other churches and you look into their economies, you look into the general household income of those other places, these other churches that were listed, they didn't have all the lavish things that they had in Laodicea. They didn't have this problem of lukewarmness. They didn't have this great problem of pride. Christians, we need to be careful to keep our eyes off the wealth, the clothing, the things we have, the great medical system we may have, and get our eyes back on the Lord. Matthew Henry said this of the Laodicean church, their souls were starving in the midst of their abundance because they got their eyes off of God. Those eyes that could clearly see the physical, because of their eye salve, the wonderful healing nature of it. Their eyes could clearly see those things, but somehow they had missed the truth of God's Word. They were missing it. Whether it was from the pulpit or whether it was from their daily lives and how they lived, they were missing something. Christian, it's time that we get back to the Word of God. It's time that we take our spiritual blinders and put them back on so that this Word, this precious Word of God that we studied a bit about this morning, seeing how God has preserved it for us. We need to make this precious in our lives. We need to make what God has given us in this rich spiritual blessings precious. And not the things that are around us. They're meaningless. Read the book of Ecclesiastes. Solomon knew what it was like to be rich. Solomon knew what it was like to have everything his heart could desire. And he said that it was all vanity. It was all worthless without the Lord. Tonight, as we go our separate ways, let's remember the healing properties of the Word of God, the rich blessings of the Word of God, and how we can be spiritually clothed and our lives can be full. Our lives can be richly blessed because of the Word of God. Let's go to Him in prayer.